This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Tonight on AMI Audio, Double Tap Canada hits the airwaves, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So let's talk tech with Sean Priest of that show. Hey, good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Dave. How are you, sir?
I have got a bit of a cold that I picked up in Winnipeg. Funny thing, when you travel out in the world and spend time with folks who are the great unwashed, they give you their diseases.
I'm telling you, stay in your sheds, people. Never leave. That's the way. That's the future.
Sean's been sheltering in place for years. You get a good shed, right. You don't go further than the shed. Hey, Sean, let's talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and Google's chatbot Lambda allegedly becoming sentient, according to one engineer. So, Sean, fill me in on the details on why this Google engineer was suspended from his job.
Well, I mean, the conspiracy theorist would say that he has discovered and leaked out to us, the sheeple, that there is, in fact, a sentient, a self-aware, a consciousness that is artificial, a self-aware AI that Google has. Now, this engineer is testing. He's there to test the development of these AI chatbots. And he, in the course of him doing his work, he's come to the conclusion that this particular chatbot called Lambda, which is, I think it's language modeling for dialogue applications. So basically, any of these, you know, telephone menu systems that you talk to, it's that sort of thing. It's how those work. And they're obviously always working on these sort of things. Or even your smart assistant is using the same sort of thing. You know, it's all about natural language and using that and getting that conversation going without having to use slow speech. Anyway, the engineer has decided that during his tests with this chatbot, that it's self-aware. It is conscious. It is in itself a person, an entity. And he's decided, well, you say interesting. I say crazy. But
terrifying. Terrifying also works.
Look, the point is that, of course, it's the hard question. What actually is sentience and what is consciousness, and how can we actually test if something is that, and if something is doing such a good job as simulating that it's sentient and self-aware, what is the difference between that and actually being self-aware?
Right.
This is beyond my pay grade. I have absolutely no idea, but what I do know is that this is a chatbot that literally spends 24 hours a day going through every forum, every Wikipedia post, and taking every question that's been asked, and in using clever algorithms, it's able to answer any question that you ask it by using that as a data source.
So even the comment section can take out the mental health of a robot.
Absolutely true. And the point of this engineer called Blake, the point that he was doing was actually to take away that toxic comments and the more toxic stuff that's all over the internet. Microsoft had a AI bot a few years ago, I think it was now, that they unleashed on social media and immediately became, you know, terribly racist and just a hateful, a terrible AI. And so that's what Google, this engineer was tasked with doing, was make sure that it's not picking up and going crazy with the more scary places of the internet.
So Sean, I need to backtrack for a second here.
Sorry, I got carried away.
Believe me, this is the kind of story that can make someone's head spin. But I at least want to come back to the evidence a little bit before we dive into some of the bigger philosophical questions. What were some of the sentences or exchanges between this engineer and the Lambda that led the engineer to believe that sentience occurred?
Well, you can read these, the conversations, the transcripts are out there. That's what he did leak. So if you do Google it, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. And to be fair, they are quite impressive. But some of the some of the things that he points to as proof or evidence of self-awareness is in fact that he keeps the AI, sorry, I'm referring to him as he, the AI refers to itself as a person constantly. But the big thing and the thing that has leaked the most is that when it was asked what one of his fears was, it was that it would be turned off for him. Sorry, I keep saying him. For them,
it's okay. Look, I'm okay with you gendering the AI.
I'm so sorry. I'm so worried about pronouns. The pronoun of this AI. So the AI for the AI, it would be just like death to be turned off. And for that, I mean, it does sound really deep, doesn't it? It does sound
deep.
Like
it is deep.
Wow, that lines of code, the billion lines of codes that this thing is. Has emotions, has feelings, has a fear of death, of non-existence. And it does sound so deep. But at the end of the day, I am sure that question and that response is in a million forums online.
Right.
Is on a million Reddit posts online. And it could be verbatim just from one of those data sources. It has nothing to do with a free-formed thought. In air quotes, it is just it was on a Reddit post about artificial intelligence becoming aware, or even a review of Terminator 2.
Right,
the movie.
Right.
Who knows?
But there is something to be said that if a artificial intelligence learns about artificial intelligence, that may allow the mind of that artificial intelligence bot to start becoming aware. Right, like I know it's I know I'm probably taking a stretch here,
and my mind blown.
But like that to me, that doesn't seem impossible that code would be aware that it is indeed code and know about its own existence. If it can read anything on the internet, it could read about itself.
That is true. Yes, but again, it's what Google are saying about this is that you're putting a personality to this line of code when in fact it isn't. It is just, they do have their, again, I don't know what they are, but they do have their tests in place and they are constantly testing for things like this because it is a concern when things seem or can appear to be conscious, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do have these tests in place. I honestly, I don't know. It's such an interesting conversation and it can go so deep. But again, I don't think there is a specific answer to it. We as human beings ourselves, as a species, have been always asking, you know, that hard question that's always been there is, what is consciousness?
Yeah.
Are we just a brain in a vat, or are we, you know, in a simulation, the Matrix, or are we experiencing the real world as it is? And it's a never-ending debate.
It's true. Are we just part of a turtle's dream?
Exactly.
It's like a turtle having a dream right now, and we're in it.
Oh, I'd like that. I hope so.
I mean, there's different perceptions of time and space. And Sean, that's why I love talking to you, because without fail, we wander into existential crises. So that's great. We're clearly moving in that direction together. But while I give you a couple hours to recover from this conversation, what do you guys have on deck for Double Tap Canada tonight?
Oh, we're going to be talking about ArriveCan, the app for arriving in Canada.
Is it as
productive? Is it making things as easy as people claim it is, or as the border force are saying, are they just turning into IT support now as everyone tries to work an app? We're going to be talking about that, and actually traveling traveling with a disability and using the digital documents that you can have now, such as boarding pass, is it actually more useful and better than just the traditional paper
documents? Yeah, I went through that process a couple times in the last few days as I was doing some traveling. On Sunday, I did the checking in at a machine, a kiosk. And on yesterday, I did a checking in with a human. And then the human, you get like the nice solid boarding pass handed to you. All the documentation is hard documentation as opposed to digital documentation. In a way, man, I kind of preferred having like the real hard constructive documentation.
I agree with you.
I couldn't see it properly or read it properly, it just made my interactions easier with the employees that I was dealing with.
Well, I spent 14 or how many hours on the plane when I came over to Canada recently. And all that time, my passport and my documents were just in my back pocket. And you know what? I was terrified about losing them. I was thinking, it'd be so much better if it was digital. But then when it came to show my vaccination status, Of course, my battery on my phone was dead.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't charge.
Oh, no.
It was then, I'm then running around trying to borrow a battery charger off people. So these problems actually don't go away. It's not, maybe you don't lose digital documents as much as maybe you would drop a passport out of the back of your pocket.
But yeah.
at the same time, the other problems come along with digital as well.
I would like to see like moving towards a more hybrid model, but absolutely. And Sean, while I've got you here and while you're talking about traveling, allow me to get this off my chest. There's a lot of conversation in Canada right now about airport delays. Let me just tell you, I wonder how much of this is actually just a Pearson airport story in Toronto rather than other airports, because Winnipeg yesterday was silky smooth. And immediately upon arriving in Pearson when our plane landed, it was a gong show, just like it was a gong show on Sunday when we arrived at Pearson Airport. I actually wonder if this is more of a Pearson issue than an actual like Canadian Transport Authority issue.
Do you know, I'm not an expert on travel, as you know, and especially Canadian travel, but I got to say, Toronto Airport, some of the staff weren't the friendliest or most helpful I've ever come across. In fact, the woman that took, as I was boarding, going through the whole kiosks section, was probably the most unfriendly and scary person I've ever spoken to in my entire life. And it was a lot of people were just running around and didn't seem to know what was going on.
Yeah.
Now, I just assumed that was something to do with, I don't know, maybe a busy period. That was my first time traveling through. But yes, I must say that airport specifically did seem to have its troubles, let's say.
I can't imagine anybody getting their back up when Sean Preece is rolling through. Like, you're the most friendly man who exists.
I was smiling. I was winking at nothing. She wasn't interested.
Wasn't into it. Didn't realize you were international celebrity, Sean Preece.
Correct.
Sean, thank you for this.
Thank you. Get well soon.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.